to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Lost. Amen. Be seated if you will. We're welcome to worship with us here at First Baptist Church. We're thankful to have you in the room with us. If you are participating online, welcome as well. We hope that you would take a moment to take your phone out and text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. It'll be on your screen right now for you to see. That's a way we can connect with you, and we would love to do so. So if you would take a moment to do that now, we would appreciate it. If you're in the room and you are a guest, if this is your first time, your second time, your third time, or maybe even your first time in a long time, we'd like to know you're here. We're not coming to your house. We would like to send you a gift in the mail. And so if you would take a moment to tear off the registration that's attached to your worship guide you were handed when you came in, we would appreciate that. You can place it in the offering plate as you leave. We promise we're not going to give your information away or show up, but we would like to know so we can contact you and thank you for being here. So please do so. I want to say that today is a special day. You see us in our I think it's almost all green, a couple of blue in there. We have green and blue shirts, our summer ministry shirts. And so it's Serve Week. This is day three of a 10-week, It's day three of a 10-day Serve Week. We could not do 10 weeks. So 10 days. 12 ministry projects over the course of 10 days. And so we're excited about that. You'll hear a little bit more about it in just a moment. But we're thankful that you are here today to be a part of worship with us. We always start by praying for a church of the week in our area and missionaries of the week. Our missionaries of the week are Trey and Robin Cates, who are serving in Vermont, in Williamstown, Vermont. They happen to be sitting on the front row. So we're going to interview them in just a second. So we'll get to pray for them with real-time prayer requests in just a moment. And we're thankful for them. And then our church of the week is Bel Air Baptist Church in Boaz. Bel Air is basically in a revitalization mode. Their pastor, Chet Roden, he started right before COVID hit and had taken them from a very small number. I think they started with about 8 or 10 and had grown to quite a number. And then COVID did a real number on things there. So they are trying to revitalize. Chet is a wonderful pastor, wonderful pulpiteer, great man. We're thankful for their church. It has a great history of ministry. And so we want to pray for them. One of the reasons we chose them as our church of the week this week is our service project today is a block party with Bel Air Baptist right there at their building sits at the right at the entrance to Mount Vernon Homes there on Bel Air Street in Boaz, if you're familiar with where I'm talking about. Great opportunity for us to partner with them. So our church plant that we helped start in Geraldine, the bridge, is bringing a team. We have a team from here that's coming, and we're partnering with Bel Air together to do some ministry this afternoon. So that's 5 to 7 if you want to come and be a part of that. We have a great group signed up, but you're welcome to do so. So let's pray for those, and then we'll carry on in worship. Father God, I take a moment and I thank you for Bel Air Baptist Church. I thank you for their rich history. I know of at least one or two people in this room, two different families that when they were much younger were active parts of that church. And Lord, how you did a work in their lives and what you did there. I thank you for that. Thank you for the fact that you are not finished with the work there. Thank you that there are men and women who are holding the line, sharing the gospel, trying to make a difference in their community. God, I pray that you would provide opportunities for ministry there, especially even tonight, that the weather would be great, that people would come out, that it would be a great time of fellowship for all of us, but that a bridge for the gospel as well. And Father, we pray for Trey and Robin. Lord, I'll keep this prayer short because we're going to pray for them again in a moment, but we're thankful for their ministry. We're thankful for what they're doing in Vermont and for their willingness to let us come alongside and partner with them. That's such a blessing. So thank you for letting us do that. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, would you help me welcome Trey and Robin Cates if you guys would come on up here. Sorry. We're going to give you, that's green. You want black? Excuse me. Thank you. Sorry. You were color coordinating. I appreciate that. So there's a mic for you guys to share. Trey and Robin, let me go ahead and get the awkwardness out of the way right now, okay? Robin is Don Blakeney's sister. I'm just letting you guys know right up front here. So you know how to pray for her. So, No, it's a, we love Don and like to give him a hard time, but we're thankful. So, and we're thankful for Trey and Robin. I knew of them, met them a couple of times. We overlapped in New England just a little bit at a couple of Baptist Convention of New England events when they were there the first time. But I really didn't know them until Don helped make a connection for us. And so we're thankful. So Trey and Robin, let's do this. First of all, if you will, tell us a little bit about yourselves, how long you've been married, where you've been living up until a few weeks ago, your kids, just really quickly, if you will, for folks to know.
Sure. So I'm Trey, this is Robin. And I grew up high school in Trustful area. In fact, my mom and dad are here with us today. So hi, mom and dad.
Welcome.
Glad you guys came up. Did you drove all the way up? And just to give you the short, sweet testimony, when I was about 16 years old, God showed me that even though I'd been raised in a godly, awesome Christian family, that I was just playing a game, and he used a series of circumstances to get my attention. And when I finally said, okay, God, I'll do things your way, not only did he change my life and save me, a few years later he called me to ministry. And we met in Alabama at the University of Mobile, down here south of Alabama, and I told her, one of the first conversations we had, that God had called me to ministry, and she said, well, God's called me to marry a minister, and yeah, it was perfect, you know? At least that's the way I tell the story. She might have heard it. So, but we've been married, be 25 years this December. We have two amazing children, Rachel. Our daughter's 20. She's attending the University of Alabama at Huntsville, studying to be a teacher. Her boyfriend, David, is here with her. And then our son, Joshua, is here. He's just turned 16, got his driver's license. So that's a prayer request right there. No. So Rachel's staying here in Alabama. Joshua is with us in Vermont. And I think that's about it. We have a lot more to our story, but that's it. Do you want to share anything about yourself, where you're from and all that?
I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. My dad was a Baptist minister for all of my life. And like he said, we met in Mobile, and the story moves on from there.
So you guys ended up planting a church in Vermont, a very successful plant that the church is still growing, still God's still at work. Just like any church in New England, there are great needs, and they can always use more leadership and help and all. But it has sustained, I think. When I was, before I left New England, I know that the current stat was of all the new church plants in New England, that within 5 years, at that point, 3 out of 5 would no longer exist. It's a very difficult place to make ministry happen long term. So your church is now, the first one you planted is now how many years old?
13 years old.
So praise the Lord for that. And so that's a difference maker for the gospel. But you've been in Huntsville, and God has called you back to Vermont. You just moved back there a few months ago, been in Huntsville for several years. Why Vermont? And why Vermont again? What's so special about Vermont?
Right. So when we were there the first time, God showed us that Vermont was the least church state in the U.S. And as far as the spiritual condition goes, it's one of the least religious states in the entire country. And so in our own backyard here in the U.S., we have pockets where just people aren't hearing the gospel. In fact, one of the great stories I love to tell is when we had some children come visit our church one time, and they asked their family, why is the letter T on the wall? I mean, they had no idea what even a cross was. And so the hard part of it is they've never heard the Bible stories. They've never grown up hearing those things that we take for granted. But the good news is, the silver lining, it's all new it's all fresh. So when someone comes to their faith in Jesus Christ and God transforms them, I mean, it's like it's all new and it's exciting. And you just know it when someone's real. And so it's an exciting thing. And so God called us to Huntsville to start a ministry 7 years ago. During those 7 years, the job I had in Vermont, they kept me working remotely. I worked for a school district doing technology work. And then over the last 7 years, got to travel back to Vermont, kind of like when the Apostle Paul would go back to and visit the churches. That's kind of what he'd fly me back on business trips. I get to connect with our church, connect with other ministries, develop relationships. And then through a series of circumstances, now that job that I've had for 7 years, actually 10 years now, the main office for it is now in the town that God's called us to plant. So all these different circumstances with our family, with our finances, with our home, with our children, God has done everything just to point us back, to go back to Williamstown, Vermont, which is a community with about 8,000 people within a 5-mile radius, and there's no active evangelical work happening in that community.
Now, let me repeat what he said. He said there's no evangelical work happening in that community. 8,000 people. You picture if Albertville's 22,000 or a little more, maybe. So figure a third of that. But you can do a quick Google search, and if you look at all denominations of evangelical churches or almost evangelical churches here in our city, you can find right at 50 with an Albertville address. And then when you think there's not a single one, not a single one in that area of 8,000 people, the need is great. So that's why, Williamstown, we're thankful. And the Lord already knew that your job was going to take you there. And what a blessing that is. So thank you very much. Well, we're bringing a team to work with them the weekend of Halloween. There'll be some fall carnivals happening that weekend. And we will do other trips in the coming year as our partnership unfolds and develops. Our missions committee is excited for us to officially form a partnership with them in New England, which means that we've already been praying for them, but we'll pray for them more regularly. We'll provide opportunities for people to go and serve at different capacities, and we will provide some financial support on a monthly basis. So part of our advanced 2022 fund will help to do that. As you give above and beyond your regular giving, you fund our partners different places. This will be one of our partners that you will help fund. So we're thankful for that, thankful to be a part of what you're doing. We're hoping that we can have just a little part to play in what God is doing in New England and in Vermont with people coming to the Lord. Tell us really quickly, specifically how we can pray for you right now in the short term, and then how we can help. If you can give us those two real quick.
Certainly, and feel free to add anything if I miss anything. So first and foremost, just for our family, we are moving back. So we're kind of going through culture shock reverse again. Even though we've lived in Vermont before, the community we're serving in is a different type of community. It's a little more blue collar. And just we need prayers to develop more relationships with folks. So as we get to know people, that God will just move before us in that. Pray for our son Joshua. He's going to be attending school in a new school district. He's 16, and I don't know if y'all have ever moved when you were a teenager, had to start a new school. But just pray for that. Pray for him as he's transitioning into a new context. And then pray for the churches that we're working with. I love the fact that y'all are praying for other churches. And in Vermont, all the pastors and churches, they really try to encourage and pray for one another. So when you think about us, don't just think about the Cates family. Please remember all the pastors and their families in Vermont. We're going to be sending y'all some information about that. But there's 5 active church plants in the entire state that we know of right now, of Southern Baptist church plants. And that's not enough church plants to go around reaching a lot of people. And a lot of them do experience burnout. So please remember to pray for us, but also pray for the ministries that are taking place.
So when we leave here in just about 20 minutes, actually, you say, how are we going to get out so early? I'm preaching the kale sermon. I didn't like kale. I'm taking a note from your book, and I'm going to give it a try. We'll see if it works or not in a minute. But we actually, the second half of our worship service is happening in the venue. We're set up for a ministry fair for you to find out all the ways to be involved in local ministry here. But we also have, we set it up this way on purpose. You have to walk past Trey and Robin to get in the room. So as you walk past there, you can go by there and say, how can I help? Do you have any information? You can sign up to be on your newsletter to get prayer requests. And that's the best.
And get maple candy if you sign up for
that. That's right.
There you go.
Vermont-made maple candy there as well. So thank you. I will say this. One of the ways we're going to help them, we'll do our ongoing support, which will begin. But we're going to receive a special offering. So you can use an envelope in front of you. And if you're not prepared to give today, you can do it next week. A lot of you are great about it. We will fix a place you can do it online. We'll have to do that tomorrow that you can do so. But what we're going to do is this. We want to help them with a specific expense. So moving to New England, if you've been there in the fall, it's beautiful. If you've been there in the summer, it's wonderful because the humidity's low and it's great temperatures. If you've been there in the dead of winter, it's a different world. And so they will receive lots of snow and very cold temperatures. And so the greatest gift almost that we received when we moved to Maine, honestly, was some help with getting us set up for winter back years ago when we were planting churches there. So we're going to, our goal will be to raise $2,000 today or by next Sunday. If you want to give it later, you can just on an envelope write Vermont. And that'll take care of that. Or if you're writing a check, just make it out to the church and write Vermont. This is above and beyond your regular giving, please. We'd appreciate you to do that. But what we're going to do is we want to provide studded tires, winter tires for their vehicles. Studded tires are needed. In October, you trade out your normal tires. You put ones with little steel studs on them because of the snow and ice that's coming. They'll stay on until March, maybe April, and then you trade them back. But you have to buy another set of tires to keep to make that happen. And then also winter coats. Your Alabama coats and my Alabama coats won't work. You have to have rated for below zero, windproof, waterproof, and they're not cheap. And then gloves, earmuffs, you know, winter boots, the whole nine yards. So we want to outfit them for the winter because we don't want your story to end that you froze to death in Vermont your first. That would be horrible. So $2,000 is the goal. If you want to give to that, I would encourage you to do so today. We'll talk about it again at the end of the service, but you can do it this next week as well. I have no doubt we'll make that goal. So thank you for being a part of that. Let's pray for them as we can carry on in worship. Father God, thank you that the name of Jesus is being lifted up in Vermont. Thank you for Trey and Robin and their willingness to go and serve and be on mission for you. Lord, my prayer is that Trey and Robin and Joshua, you would give them opportunities to meet people, to share the gospel, to speak truth about who you are. And God, that not only as they push back the darkness, they will bring more light. Lord, we don't pretend to think that you're not already in New England. You're there. You're at work. But Father, they will bring clarity of the gospel. They will bring clarity through disciple making. And so they will help reveal a picture of who you are more clearly. So God, we pray that we could help meet this one need today. We pray that we could help meet ongoing needs in the future. And we pray that our partnership, maybe you would call somebody in this room to go spend a summer living there helping. Maybe you would call a retired couple in this church to spend a year in New England. Maybe you would call a young family to go and work remotely and to help them for a while. Lord, whatever the case may be, Lord, would you use us and call us to be a part of the work in New England? Lord, we celebrate your name. The name of Jesus is wonderful. We sing about that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing, Isn't the Name. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Go for
it. Send us out, church. Isn't the name? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? And all the world can come to him to have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God and one of us, lover of our souls. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal sing this out. For there is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus. There is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus. Lift us up. Jesus, all we need.
Oh, yes, it is.
For isn't the name of Jesus all we need? For he's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Sing that out, for he's the way.
He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Father God, we speak the name of Jesus. We sing the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that that name has power. We know that when we live out the name of Jesus, it can bring transformation in the lives of a city and the lives of others. Oh God, would you do that among us now? May we always focus on Jesus. We pray this in the name of the one we just sang about, Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will, friends. Today's a very special day. It's an abbreviated message where we talk about really our calling as a church. And I really do have to move quickly to make this happen so that you can be at the ministry fair. And so I will share with you normally in January, and we will have our Advanced 2023 conference this next January, back to our normal way of doing our missions conference. But these past 2 years with COVID, we've not been able to make that happen because of ramp-ups in January and things that were happening, but we're going to make it happen in January. But for today, a really quick Advanced 2022 update. For the past 11 years, we've been giving above and beyond regular giving and then investing in missions with our church budget and trying to do different things. And over the 11 years, $3.3 million given to missions alone from this faith family. I say that, praise the Lord. I say that to say that's more than we should have been able to do, but God can do what he wants to do when his people are faithful to him. So thank you for giving. We have sent hundreds of people on mission multiple places all over the world and all throughout the U.S. and even right here in Albertville, just connecting to mission and ministry projects. In the last 2 days, over 130 people participated yesterday and Friday night from our church and projects. So thank you for that. Many more to come this week. But why do we do that? Is it just so we can have a week and say we did it? No. Last week, we ended the message in Acts chapter 17, where Paul is speaking to the people in the Areopagus in Athens. And he says this, he says, "And Jesus made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet He is actually not far from each one of us. So Paul speaks this in the Areopagus where these people were meeting to discuss philosophy. And he says, I see all of your idols here in this town, but the one true God, he has appointed the time and place you were born, your boundaries, and he's placed you there. And he is not far from here. And then he shares the gospel, and some of them believed and some of them did not. And really, that seems to be the pattern for all of Paul's life, but it never once slowed him down from sharing the love of Jesus with everyone. He didn't care how many responded or who didn't. He spoke truth, he spoke it in love, and he spoke it in boldness. He understood that his job was to sow seeds, and it was God's job to bring the harvest. Well, friends, I want to say, according to that verse, it applies to your life and mine. God has determined our allotted time period, our allotted boundaries, our allotted dwelling. So what does that mean? It means you are alive at the right time in just the right place so that you can be God's man or woman on the scene. Now, do you believe that? It's true. God's got you right where he wants you. You are his man or woman on the scene. Everyone you meet, you represent Jesus to them. Everyone you interact with, we can show his love to. We can expand that to not just people right here, but around the world. Everyone who's alive today, we are called to be a bridge for the gospel. Now, there's no reason to overcomplicate it, so let's don't. Let's go back to another scripture. Thousands of years ago, the Israelites most of them were in exile in Babylon, and God spoke these words of instruction to them. Listen to what he told the Israelites who were in exile. In Jeremiah 29, verse 4, he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent from exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, the behalf of those people, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Now, listen, God was speaking specifically to Israelites in exile in Babylon, but the principle applies to you and to me today. They weren't supposed to just seek their own welfare in that city. It says that they were to not just be like the city. He didn't say go to this city and become like them in exile. He says make the city better, increase the kingdom among the people. And as the welfare is better, your welfare will be better. So that was for a specific place at a specific time and a specific people, but apply it to your life and mine. Here's how we apply it. Part of our calling as a faith family, part of your calling if you're here in the room, watching online, listening on the radio, if you're online and you're local, it's for you anyway, is that God has called us to plant our lives right here in Marshall County. God has called us to live in a way that makes Marshall County better than we found it. I said this last week. Our goal should be to leave this world better than we found it. Our goal should be to leave our city better than we found it. And gospel transformation from Jesus is the only way that happens. And so that happens through his people. Well, how does that happen? I'm glad you asked. It's a simple verse. We're going to keep it simple. Matthew 22, Jesus tells us how gospel transformation happens. Matthew 22, 34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him, Jesus, a question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets. Now, friends, we don't have to overcomplicate it. Your calling and my calling is to live those two commandments. Our calling is to love God and to love others around us. That's our calling. Listen, you can simplify what God's calling you to do today, this week. Love God, love others around you for the sake of God. That's what he's called us to do. So the question now is, last question, what is the best way to love others around us in the love of God? How do we do it? Well, one more verse. John 13. Sorry to skip around so much today. John 13, 17. Jesus says these words at a pivotal moment in his life. He says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, I don't know if you know what he's talking about. But if you put that in context of John 13, which we should always put it in context, Jesus has just spent the first 16 verses of John 13. John's been describing what Jesus did. He went, he took off his outer robe, he wrapped it around his waist, he took a towel, a basin of water, he got down on his knees, and he wiped off the animal dung and manure and dirt off the feet of his disciples. He served them by washing their feet. He put himself in a lowly position of service to show how much he loved them. And then, as soon as he completes washing their feet, he says this, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So we're not taking off our outer robes. We're putting on our t-shirts. We're putting on our work gloves. We're rolling up our sleeves. We're coming to a place where we can get messy with people and to love on people, because the way we show the love of God, the way we love God is to serve and love others. And that's exactly what he's calling us to do. Now, you may say, Pastor, does that mean we're supposed to wash each other's feet? That's not a bad idea, but that's not really the point. The point is that we are all called to take the posture of a servant and share Christ's love in humility and with authority. Remember, when Jesus was washing their feet, one of the apostles said to him, if you have to do this, and don't just do my feet, do all of me. And then, of course, Jesus had to, in authority, say, this is all I'm going to do is this. And he had the plan. He knew what he was doing. So for us, under the authority of the gospel and under humility of service to love others, we, in a posture of service, seek to love God and love others. And let me tell you something. It will be messy. But that's why we have Serve Week. We don't do this so we can check a box. Well, we minister to this many people over 10 days. That's not the deal. We do this to inspire and encourage all of us and remind all of us that these are simple things we can live out all year long. We don't need a program from church. We're a people, individuals. We can go and live these things out. Serving is a bridge to relationships, and relationships are a bridge for the gospel. Let me say that again. If you're writing things down, remember this. Serving is a bridge to relationships. It's how you form them. And relationships are a bridge for the gospel. The gospel starts and ends with relationship, and in the middle is a transformation in Jesus. So the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that's how it is lived out. So among these projects, they're designed to help us be bridges in certain ways of the gospel. We had Maker's Child Friday night. What a blessing it was to be a part of that and have 100 volunteers serving Friday night. I think it was 70 plus children and special needs families that were here to be able to be ministered to and provide a respite night for them. What a blessing that was. Thank you for serving. Yesterday, we gave out $2,200 worth of free gas cards to 100 happy folks and surprise people. And so it was a blessing. And we had a little place on there. You could list a prayer request and send us a prayer request right back. Within moments, we received the first prayer request of somebody saying, thank you, here's, I need prayer. Listen, friends, those are bridges for the gospel. That's all they are. Today's the block party at Bel Air. Tomorrow is Foster Family Fest. It's a special party tomorrow evening for the foster families of Marshall County, and to love on them and to be an encouragement to them. On Tuesday, we are helping with Second Chance Food Pantry to extend our idea of Great Grocery Giveaway. We're helping to pack a bunch of boxes and deliver to some places in need during the day. Tuesday evening is the Farmer's Market Giveaway, a special ministry there. On Wednesday, we're helping to pack some bags and boxes and write some encouraging note to all of the teachers in Asbury. Jay Gibson, who is in the room. Where are you, Jay? Would you wave at everybody this direction? Jay is starting a ministry in Asbury. He's the ag teacher at Asbury High School. He's starting a ministry called Cultivate Ministry. So we will help him. So we'll do this in the name of his church. Really, we'll partner with them, or his ministry. We'll partner with him to do a little blessing basket for teachers. So when they return in two and a half weeks, sorry, teachers, it's coming close. When they return back to school, they'll have it waiting on them there at their room, and they'll know it's a gift that God loves them and someone's praying for them and encouraging them. On Thursday, we're helping again at Second Chance Food Pantry in the day. Thursday evening, we're asking if you have been praying for 40 of your neighbors to show up here at 6 o'clock and you're going to bless 4 of your neighbors. Not 40, just 4. If you've been doing the Good Neighbor Initiative, praying for 40 of your neighbors since January, every day my app reminds me to pray for 5 of those and it rotates and it's a blessing. There are days I miss, and I'll just pick back up and keep going the rest of the time. But if you've been praying for your neighbors, or even if you haven't and you want to start this week, show up Thursday night. You will have 4 bags. The bag will have in it an ice cream scoop. Sounds kind of cheesy, but that's what it is. It has our logo on it. It'll have a little card that says it's worth $5 worth of any ice cream for free at Foodland. They can take it there and get that on their own. An invitation to church and a little gospel message. And we're asking you to take that to your neighbors on each side of you and the 2 across the street. You can leave the door hanger bag on their door. You can knock and have a conversation. You can leave it and run. We don't care. The point is, as you're praying for people, you be an encouragement to them. And some of you are already thinking, what if my next door neighbor is a church member here? Give them some ice cream. It's not my fault they're your neighbor. So, you know, just whatever. Go ahead and let them have it anyway. It'll be okay. So please come. That's for everybody to come and to do that on Thursday. We hope to impact hundreds of homes on Thursday in that way. Friday, we're helping to do a paint project at the Cahill Ministry Center. Saturday, we're giving away $300 worth of quarters at local laundromats. And then Sunday, we have the great grocery giveaway where everyone can leave with 2 bags, 2 addresses next door to each other. You drop the bags of groceries with an invitation to church and to the gospel and a message. And so a lot of things happening. It's not too late to be involved. If you say, I didn't sign up, the serve guides are right outside the door on the welcome desk. If you want one, you can fill it out and drop it in the offering plate today, or just call the office tomorrow. The projects that will go from Tuesday to Sunday, you'll get a text about those this afternoon, reminding you some updates. If you don't get a text by tomorrow morning, somehow your name's not on the list. It's an accident. Call and make sure we get you on the list. We'd love for you to do that. So I've got 4 minutes to get you out to the venue. I have something very important to tell you. As we read this scripture and talk about why we do this, it's important to understand that this is not a one-time thing, that our calling, we try to do local ministry year-round. We try to be involved with missionaries year-round. We want to live on mission year-round. And so God is blessed in some ways, and I want to set up a big announcement I'm about to make in this way. Our church has been blessed with an amazing amount of growth, while a number of places, I hate to say, have really struggled through COVID. The reality is, as far as official families that have joined our church, not even ones who are attending who have not joined yet, in the last 17 months, we've had 57 families unite with our church to be involved and to serve. Yes, it's a blessing. Welcome. You are welcome here. Several out of town today, but they are welcome here. We're glad you're here. Several, you see them serving in the choir every other week. You see them on the praise team. You see them in the orchestra. You see them greeting. You see them serving at special events in any number of ways. They've infiltrated into the ministry. You've assimilated into the ministry. Sorry. Assimilated into the ministry very well. Infiltrate might work. I don't know, whatever the case may be. And so we're thankful for that. But with that, honestly, on attendance, attendance patterns have changed. I don't have time to go through all that, but let me just say we're ministering to a large number more than we were at one time. Ministry has grown. Our partnerships, international and local, have grown. So I want to announce to you that our plan, personnel team has 100% unanimously voted to do this. Our deacons have then voted to support it and make it a joint recommendation. And so we will be hiring, we'll have to go find them, we don't have them yet, a new associate pastor and missions pastor, someone that will head up our local ministry projects, our ministry projects around the world, someone that will help us with assimilating new people in, someone that will perform normal associate pastor duties and do the things right here in our church, someone that can help us to the next level. This church has had that position before. In fact, in 2003, I became the associate pastor and missions pastor. And was that for a little while. We haven't had it for several years just to try to be good stewards. But as we've seen the growth, we've needed it. So we're going back to that with one difference. Now listen, don't miss this. This is important. The step further and the strategic part of that is this. That's easy. We need a missions pastor. We need an associate pastor who will help us greatly. But if we really want to love those around us, if we really want to reach our community for Christ, if we really want to be a whosoever will may come to Christ kind of church, then we cannot leave out a huge population segment of our county. Our county is at least 30% Hispanic. Our school system right here in Albertville is over 50% Latino. We have first, second, and third generation Latinos here who need discipling the same way that we Caucasians do. So in order for us to help find ways to make disciples among our Latino neighbors, that may be through church planting, that may be through local ministry. We already do it through our CalBus ministry, through disciple making, through small group Bible studies. We don't know what all it will look like. But in order to make that happen, personnel voted to do this, and I'm so excited and cannot wait. So we are going to focus very hard. Our intent is to go through the highways and byways and do whatever it takes. Our goal for this associate pastor and missions pastor is to hire and to call a Latino pastor to be on staff at our church. So that's our prayer. We need someone who can help us exegete our culture that's here with us. That does not mean that we're going to have hundreds of Hispanic people in this service in 2 years. That would be naive to think that way. What it means is that it doesn't even mean necessarily that we'll start a Hispanic worship service. We might, but we don't know that. What it does mean is that we want to find ways in our community, if it's helping people find other churches, if it's starting a church, if it's starting a service, if it's just doing local ministry in different neighborhoods here in town, we want to find a way to have a gospel impact for the 30%+ of our community that we have struggled to engage well as a faith family. We've been welcome, we've been open, we've been willing, but we need help to know how. So that's the plan. We'll do our best. We don't know how long that'll take to find someone. And if God directs us differently, we'll do differently. But our plan is to do that. And so about 40% of that job will be specifically for Hispanic ministries, and the other 60% to help us with our local ministries, local missions, our other extended missions and things that are happening. So I'm so excited about this. I'll be honest, I've prayed about this daily since early fall of last year, and asking God to help us to do it. Now, here's the reality. It'll be a challenge financially to add an entire position. But even as Trey said this morning, speaking to some groups earlier, if God orders it, he'll pay for it. And he does, and he provides. And so we believe that. But I will also say we have invested thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars to go reach Latino people in other places. So it's simple to make that investment right here. And so we can help connect people right here in our community. So that is the plan. That is our desire. And so thank you. If you have not been giving, we encourage you to start to give. If you give regularly, thank you. Please carry on. I would encourage you to be a part of what God is doing. Now, our church will officially vote on calling that position and finding someone next month when we vote on our budget. Our budget year starts September 1st. So we'll vote on that when we vote on the budget. And then we'll begin the process of looking for someone. But just want you to know today, I want you to know what's going on and how you can be a part. So my question for you is this. Will you be a part and support about what God is up to and what he's doing? Secondly, how will you serve locally? How will you serve within the faith family? How will you serve outside the doors of the faith family? So this week and again next Sunday, we'll have the booth set up again for the morning as well. We are having a ministry fair. We're about to leave and we're going to the venue. Please don't leave and go home early, okay? I'll encourage you to stop in there for a minute. There's 30 plus opportunities for you to look at three distinct sayings that will help you know what the booth is about. And if you're interested in finding out more information about being involved, you sign your name on a piece of paper. There'll be someone there to answer a question. You're not signing your life away. You're not committing to do it. You're saying, I want more information. So go by there, see, interact. There's different types of candy at all the places you can just kind of enjoy as you walk through there, a little pre-lunch snack, okay? Trey and Robin will be out there. You can find out about everything from children's ministry to security ministry to the Second Chance Food Pantry, how you can serve there, to the Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center. Let me quickly say this. We had a board meeting for the Pregnancy Center this week. The need has greatly increased with even with the reversal of Roe v. Wade and what immediately happened in our state with that. So there are people that have greater needs in different ways. And some of the things that they are going through left and right that they cannot have enough of in sharing the gospel are diapers, because they help people after they have children. It's not just about, please don't have an abortion. It's how can we help you now to bring life to this family? So if you can, we're going to ask you to bring diapers. We'll ask you to bring wipes. New car seats or gently used car seats, they have to be less than 5 years old to be able to use them. Pack and plays, all those things, ladies or men can come there and do what's called learn to earn. They go through a short Bible study. They learn parenting techniques and tips. They hear the gospel, and through doing that, they can earn credit to get those things free. So it's a great gospel ministry. There's a flyer out there about it. Pick one up, bring something back next week. We'll get it delivered. We'll take care of that. Find a way you can serve. If you have not found a place to serve, sign up for the prayer ministry that you'll pray. We'll send you regular updates of prayer requests. Go to the Good Neighbor Initiative booth and find a way you can pray for your neighbors. Whatever the case may be, here's what I would say to you. If you're not serving in any way, don't be offended. But here's what I'm about to say it anyway. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Sitting in a pew is not a spiritual gift. And God has equipped every follower of Jesus with spiritual gifts. And so I want to encourage you, you can find a way to serve. Now, you may be limited in physical mobility. You may be limited in things you can do. But I promise you there are opportunities to do ministry out there. I promise, if you'll go and take a look. And I will help you find one if need be. So we invite you to come. Don's going to come. We're going to sing one verse of "Wherever He Leads, I Go." And my prayer is that as you sing that, after the first verse is over, we're going to pray. And while we're singing that verse, if you're manning one of those booths, wait till we start, till we stand. But if you'll head out there to go ahead and be ready, we're going to sing one verse of "Wherever He Leads, I Go." And then we're going to just sing the second verse as people are headed on out there, because he's leading you to the venue right now. Okay, so I encourage you to go that way. Don't forget your offering. The boxes are in the back. If you're a guest, please put your worship registration there. Thank you for your faithfulness to give. That's what allows us to do the ministry that we're doing this week. That's what allows us to have air conditioning in this room. It's what allows us to have an associate pastor. Thank you for being faithful to give. If you would like to unite with our church, you're going to have to wait another week. We're not going to allow anybody to join today. So that the invitation is to go to the venue, not to come here. Now, if you want to get saved, you come to me. I will stay right here with you. But if you want to join the church, you should have done it last week. You're going to have to wait till next week now. So we do have one family joining next week I know of already. So it'd be a great time for you to do so as well. I really can think of no better time to do it. If you really do want to do it, we can make it happen out in the venue. You just come find me, okay? All right, let's pray together. Father God, Lord, may we live these four scripture passages. Lord, they bless my heart to read in Acts where you remind us that you've allotted for us the time, the place, and where we're born and what we do. Father, to read also in the book of Jeremiah and to see that you've called us to seek and to live our lives in a way that makes a difference in our community and makes a difference in the lives of those around us. Father, to look in Matthew and to see that you tell us that the most important things we could do is to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind and love our neighbors as ourselves. And then in John, where you model for us that we will be blessed if we do what you did, and that's to wash their feet. Lord, service is a way we love others. Lord, help us to learn to love you more and to love others more by serving, by being involved. God, I thank you that this room represents an army of men and women who are ministers for the gospel. So God, give us opportunities to live that out. And Lord, now as we move to the venue for just a few minutes, Lord, may it be a special time of and see that how we can sign up and be a part of ministries. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to sing one verse of this song.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.